He knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon him the knowledge of things not known to him. It is this special understanding that was implied in the reply of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he was asked by the people if he had received from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam any special knowledge or instructions which were not received by others. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I swear by him who made the paradise and created life that I possess nothing special except the clear understanding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon a person in respect of the Qur'an Sharif. Ibn Abi Dunya rahimahullah ta'ala says that the knowledge of the Qur'an Sharif and that which can be derived out of it are as vast as a boundless ocean. The branches of knowledge described above are like tools, that is essential prerequisite for a commentator, a mufassir. A commentary written by a person who is not thoroughly acquainted with these branches of knowledge will be based on his personal opinion, which is prohibited. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum already had Arabic language as their mother tongue, and they reached the depth of the rest of the knowledge by means of their illuminating contact that they had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alama Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala says that those who think that it is beyond the capacity of a man to acquire wahbi ilm or gifted understanding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not right. To get this knowledge from Allah, one should adopt the means to this end. Example, acting upon the knowledge that one has acquired and this inclination towards the world. It is stated in Kimiya'i Sa'adat that three persons are not blessed with complete understanding of the Qur'an Sharif. First, one who is not well versed in Arabic. Secondly, one who persists in committing a major sin or indulges in act of religious innovation, bid'ah, because his actions blacken his heart, which in turn prevents him from understanding the Qur'an Sharif. Thirdly, one who is a rationalist, even in the matter of faith, and feels embarrassed when he reads an ayat of the Qur'an, which he is not able to fully rationalize. Allahumma ihfazna minhu, may Allah protect us from all such sins and evils. Social etiquettes in regards to dreams. If a person sees a frightening dream, then he should sputter thrice on his left side and recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. If a person sees a frightening dream, then he should sputter, just with a spitting sensation, he should do thrice on his left hand side and recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, thrice. He should turn to the other side and not mention the dream to anyone. Inshallah, no harm will occur. If one has to tell anybody about his dream, then he should tell someone who is intelligent or one who is a close and pious friend. As such, a person will not give a bad interpretation because many a times reality occurs in accordance with the interpretation rendered. Never fabricate dreams. This is a major sin. May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. With regard to the second thing that we are discussing, of which we must also keep roza, and that is roza of the tongue. We explained about roza of the eye. We must safeguard our eyes also. And then roza with regard to parda, and with regard to roza of the eyes, one point also, which by which we can understand the beauty, the wisdom and the benefit of parda, two friends who are having a debate on parda. So in the debate, the one friend took out two sweets, and the one, he unwrapped it, and he threw both the sweets on the ground, the one unwrapped and the one wrapped. So he asked, which sweet will you have? So he says, the wrapped one. So he says, then everything you understand. A person who, a woman who is uncovered and the one who is covered, who will you have? Anyway, further, with regard then, what we were discussing, roza of the tongue. That is, as far as speech is concerned. And we explained, tried yesterday, by Allah's tawfiq, to understand Allah's great qudrat and to believe in Allah, His qudrat, to recognize Him, and then to come to love Allah by the value of speech, which Allah has blessed us free of charge. We didn't have to go to school and university to learn to speak. Allah blesses every child, and whatever house he is in, what language is spoken, the child speaks that language. So this tongue also, it is a great amanat also from Allah. It is a trust. It must be used correctly also. In one time, one Sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Izni wa awjiz, give me waaz, give me a bayan, but make it short, wa awjiz, comprehensive." That means it must be jame, in a few words, in a little time, tell me lot of things. And who jame ul kilam was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How his speech was so concise. But it is speaking till today, and the meaning is not exhausted till today. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and if any hadith is not a clear sign of the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what else can it be? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him three advices. That the first, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتٍ مُوَدَّعٍ. That whenever you stand up to make your namaz, then make your namaz as though this is my last namaz of my life. That now I'm making, or that I've made wada, I've forsaken everything of the world, now I'm only in front of with Allah Ta'ala. Then the second thing, وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمْ وَلَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْذَرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. And don't say such a thing that tomorrow you have to ask for forgiveness. You have to excuse yourself. That is what we will discuss now. And just to complete that hadith, the third point, وَأَجْمَعِ الْأَيَاسِ فِيمَا أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. And do not have greed what other people have got. Collect all your giving up of hope. Lose hope totally what is in the hands of other people. In other words, don't have greed. Allah has blessed this person with this. Allah has blessed that person with that. So don't you be greedy for that. Islam did not prohibit us from making our due effort, but don't be obsessed with all that, otherwise great loss will come to you. Anyway, this point that is relevant to what ours today is the second one, that don't speak, don't say such a thing. وَلَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْذَرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. That you have to tomorrow go and ask for forgiveness. غَدًا either means after you have spoken, you told somebody something, you told your wife, you told your worker something, you had a fight with your neighbor, with somebody, and you said so many things. Now you realize, I shouldn't have done that. It was wrong. Now you have to go and ask for forgiveness. Or it means on the day of Qiyamah. That there you'll be taken to account for everything what you speak. This tongue is a very, very great weapon that Allah Ta'ala has given. And it has to be controlled and used very, very correctly. So a person should see that his tongue, he uses it correctly. And from the other point, see how Allah Ta'ala has made the system of the tongue, how pure Allah has kept it. Allah Ta'ala says, هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ. Allah knows you more better. Allah knows you perfectly than what you know yourselves also. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. When He took you out from the earth. That is, from sand we are created. Directly Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, we all, whatever we eat, it grows in the sand. Even the meat that we eat, those animals, fowls, birds, they also eat food that is from the ground. مَتَعَلْ لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. Allah has made this all the food for you and for your animals that you have. So all we are created from sand. So when Allah knows you, when He made you, and from sand. وَأَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And He knows you perfectly well from that time when you were a jinnah. When you were just a what word? Fetus. When you were still just a fetus in your mother's womb, he knew you from then also, and he knew your reality properly from that time already. So however, when a child is in the womb of the mother, for after about 4 months, 10 days, roughly in that time, Ruh comes into the child. The body is completely formed by then. Now Allah puts life, Ruh. And Ruh also, it is such a subject, Allahu Akbar, that whoever studies on the soul can go and see in any university, go to the library and go and check in the section of philosophy where they have written all the theories about what the soul is. Whoever has studied, he has studied and written volumes and volumes, but at the end there is still no clear-cut thing. That what is the soul? Look at the knowledge of the Quran Sharif on the other hand. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you, what is the ruh? One question they had put to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in what a short phrase the Quran replied, قُلْ, say, tell them, الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. That ruh is from the commandments of my Allah. It is Allah's command that comes into that person. And we also understand Tawheed, that how Allah has made us. For example, you're a person, healthy, loving, everything. Your eyes are seeing, your tongue is talking, your heart is beating, your lungs are functioning, your brain is working, everything. Now just when Allah takes out His command, that is when maut comes. That this ruh is taken out, the command of Allah, Allah took it out now. Now your eyes are still perfect. And they can be grafted into another person whose eyes are not functioning. And they will see there, because there Allah's command is still in that person. That person has got ruh. Your heart can be transplanted. In you that heart is not working. But in another person in whom Allah's command of life, ruh, is there, and he's got a problem with his heart, your heart can be your kidney, I'm not talking of the masala that you should ask the mufti sahab, whether that is permissible or not. I'm just giving an example. Your kidneys can be transplanted, your heart can be transplanted. So where Allah's command went out, now the eyes are there, perfect. But they were seeing till now, but now they stop seeing. The heart stops functioning, the kidneys stop functioning, the whole, or everything stops functioning. If you have to transplant it, and the doctors who know how to do it, they do it in the right way, then that heart will start working there again. The eyes will start working, the kidneys will start working again. So this is Allah's command. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. And قُلْ الرُّوحُ mean of many of the commands of Allah, ruh is one command. From here also understand that amre rab, Allah's command, how valuable, how strong, how great, how powerful it is. Like this is one command by which all of us are sitting here. Everyone has got his own mind, his own ears, we are thinking. The whole world, what commotion is taking place. People are running to catch buses, getting onto trains. People are getting onto planes. People are going down in the mine to work. People are, what is happening? All because of this one command of Allah, the ruh. Like that one command of Allah, so great, so powerful, is namaz. And we negligent about our namaz. So great is Allah's command, one command of roza, fasting. All these are commands of Allah Ta'ala. So from this command we can understand also, and from every command, how great Allah's command. By Allah's one kun, Allah's command, the world comes into existence. Everything falls into place. By one command of Allah, Qiyamah will come. How great aren't Allah Ta'ala's commandments. So anyway, so this tongue that the child, after about 4 months, when Allah puts His command, ruh, into the child, and the child now, life comes into the child. Now he's a living child. And regularly the mother has to go to the gynecologist. They do perhaps sometimes a sauna, everything, and they check up. There has to be life. They want to see. There must be movement. Now the mother feels also the movement of the child. Now there is life in the child. So the child consequently also needs food to eat. And what arrangement? Allah in His wisdom made the arrangement that the mother's menses, her monthlies, they stopped during those days. And now they are the food for the child. Allah in His wisdom made the filthy, dirty blood the food for this child. And we'll touch on that just now, that why did one of the reasons why Allah has made this, the food for the child. So since that is the food, that filth and dirt, so Allah did not allow it to go through the mouth. Allah kept the mouth pure. That is the point I wanted to make here. See how much Allah went to keep this mouth pure. So when you come in this world, your baby comes, don't dirty the mouth of that baby and teach it now filthy language. Teach it to swear, teach it to lie, teach it to be vulgar. Don't. Allah kept it pure. How not Allah took precaution that this tongue is going to read kalima. This tongue is going to read Quran Sharif. Is going to make zikr. This tongue must be kept pure. Now don't you, what Allah kept pure, don't you go and make it impure. So much Allah Ta'ala has kept our tongue pure. And the, why did Allah make the menses one of the reason? So that man, insan, doesn't get pride in him. That Allah knows you, your beginning. Your beginning is, you were tumpale. You grew up, you were brought up with filth and dirt. You were made of sand. And you were that weakling in your mother's womb, that you hardly could move properly when you were born. Your eyes were closed, your fists were closed. You couldn't even move. Slowly, slowly, Allah gave you strength. You started opening your eyes, you opened your fist, you started making some movements, etc., everything. So Allah knows you properly like that. So Allah knows what you have been, you were made of sand, and you were, your food was filth and dirt. Where have you got the right to be proud? Shaitan, when Allah commanded him to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he used his own logic. And he said, Ana khayrun minhu, I'm better than Shaitan, because I'm made of fire, and fire goes up. Flames of fire always go up, and sand always goes down. So I am better than him. I'm one that goes. So where is the logic that the one who goes up must make sajda, must respect and show honor to one who is down? The one who is down must show respect to the one who is high, who is on top. So where is the logic? So here also, another very great point that we understand, don't use our brains in the laws of Allah. Use your brains to verify it is Allah's law. That Allah has said that this masala is correct masala. But then don't you try and now become clever and try and analyze the laws of Allah. Accept it. That is amanna wa saddaqna. That is wa rasikhuna fil ilm yaquluna amanna bih. People who have drunk deep in knowledge, they don't go into these things, we accept. That is the greatest knowledge, the most knowledge, that you don't question the system of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Yes, you can find out. Somebody has told you this is a masala, is it the masala? Somebody told you there is a hadith. You can find, is it a hadith? But when it is established, it is a hadith, now don't use your brains. Now, Allah's Rasul's kalam, and you want to use your brains. Allah's kalam, and you want to use your brains. Where can your brains work in there? One person, all these type of things which he could not understand, so he told one Maulana that these things, all masalas, you people make them up and all this. Ayat of the Quran, you people tell us what it is and that. And that is all from your back pocket, you take it out. And this is not the reality and this is not the truth. So Maulana took his walking stick and gave him one shot on his head. So he said, that is your problem, you can't explain to us, you can't give us, as we read, rational. That everything must be rational, what we can understand with the brain. You can't give us proper answers like that. Now you hit. So Maulana said, I didn't hit you. So he said, now on top of it, you're lying also. You hit me now. You're such a big Maulana, so big topi, beard, and you're still lying also. So he said, I didn't hit you. He said, then what happened? He said, the magnet in your head, pulled the magnet in the stick, and then it came and fell on your head. And you must make shukr that you just got a small magnet in your head, your brains are small. If you had a big magnet, the stick should come with so much force, your head should also split in two. So those people who believe everything is happening with magnetic forces, not Allah's law, and with atmospheric pressure it is happening. When they understand like this, they understand that it's not atmospheric, that atmospheric pressure and magnetic force is also Allah's creation. And they also under the law and command of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, so Allah has made our food right at the beginning. Your food, O insan, human being, Ibn Adam, was that filth and dirt. You are made from sand, you are made from clay. And what right have you got to be proud? Shaitan, it was wrong for him that he had that pride in him. Hadrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written very beautifully on this point that Shaitan has three ayns, the letter ayn, ayn, ghain, the ayn, three ayns he had. He was lacking in the fourth ayn. He had ilm, knowledge he had. And so much knowledge he had, what we call the fine print, the juziyat of all the shariats of all the anbiya, he knew that also. Today we, one mufti who is known as the mufti of the world, he won't know all the juziyats of our, of his own mazhab. Forget the four mazahib. For he won't know all the juziyat of his own mazhab also. But shaitan had the knowledge of all the juziyat of all the religions of the world. Secondly, he was such an arif. To be a marifat alone is also not enough. He had so much marifat of Allah, he was such an arif that he knew that at that time when Allah told him, فَحْبِتْ مِنْهَا فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا, get out of Jannat now, get out from here. At that time also he knew Allah so well that Allah's anger can't possess Allah. Like we, sometimes when our anger possesses us, we don't know what we're talking also. Afterwards, when people tell us, we even deny, I didn't say all this. You think, it's impossible for me to say these things. But at that time you said it. You are sort of possessed by a demon, by a devil, at that time when you are in your anger. There is a serious disease, anger also. So anyway, he knew that Allah's anger cannot control Allah. Allah is still Allah, and anger cannot control Allah. At that time he said, Anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Give me chance till the day of Qiyamah. And for what also? La'ughwiyan nas. So that I can make people go astray. And I will come them from every side. And he knew I can make dua to Allah. Even when Allah is so, we know if somebody is very angry, don't speak to him now. Let him cool down. Now is not the time to speak. Matters will become worse also. He knew Allah is not like that. So much he knew Allah Ta'ala. He had marifat of Allah to that detail. But that also was not sufficient for him. He was such a great abid, the third ayn. He was an alim, he was an arif, he was an abid. Such an abid that on the whole surface of the earth, there isn't a span of hand, our palm what it is, where say Shaitan did not make sajda to Allah. And because of these qualities of his, some people are in doubt that Shaitan is an angel. He was never an angel. He was a jinnat. He's from the species of the jinnat. And he wasn't an angel, but he was promoted to live amongst the angels. And his name was also kept like the names of the angels, like Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, and his name Azazil, on that same wazan also. And he was living, he was in the company, and the angels should envy him. Allahu Akbar. At one time, Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam, they just stood dumbfounded. Sam came. And at that time, there was no time measurement as we have today. That 1 year, 1 month, maybe millions of years had passed when they were just like dumbfounded. So Allah asked them, that what's wrong with you people? Why are you just like this? Itne sahm ke, you just like, you're shocked. You're in a state of bewilderment. And for so long, they said, Ya Allah, Shaitan, such a great abid, such a great arif, such a great alim, everything. And he got thrown out of your court. And we don't know your knowledge, your complete knowledge, what is for us in the future. that tomorrow this can happen to us. So nobody ever must have any pride in him. What your condition is today, don't look down upon somebody else. Don't think today I'm a big buzurg, I'm a big wali, big maulana, and I got lot marifat. You don't know what is in the knowledge of Allah, and in a matter just like a sickness, may Allah save us all. For a stroke to come, it doesn't take a minute. For a heart attack to come, it doesn't even take a minute. Anything, brain hemorrhage, it can just happen suddenly to anyone. Just like this, all your spiritual condition can also be just taken away in less than a second, a minute also. Less than a second also. And of Allah's system is, there is a cause for it. Allah doesn't just do things haphazardly. So there is a cause why this changes. So shaitan also, so they said, Ya Allah, he got thrown out of your court. We don't know what is our future. We also. So Allah Ta'ala said, Kunu hakaza. Always have this fear with you. Always be fearful. Don't ever have this, to be content with your condition. Never be complacent. Never be happy. Always have this fear. I don't know what can happen to me. Anything can happen. And so many good hafiz of the Quran, they didn't read. They forgot their Quran. How many people, or many things, the thing, your namaz just gets taken away at any time. So you must never be complacent, never be arrogant, never be proud of what you have got. Never ever. So anyway, shaitan, what didn't he have? He was not an ashiq of Allah. A lover of Allah. A lover accepts wholeheartedly. A lover is that person, you tell him that now it's night, he'll say, yeah, it's night. And you tell him anything, whatever you tell him, a lover accepts it. Ishq is a ajeeb thing. Who you in love with, everything of that person is right. Nothing is wrong of that person. And where there isn't that love, everything is wrong what that person does. And this is with anyone. Some alim also, you love that alim, whatever he says, and how you'll defend him, and how you'll be for him, and who you don't like, everything what he does right also is wrong for you. That is how it is. You just find fault all the time. So love is such a thing. So shaitan was lacking in this love. He did not have love, so he went and used his stupid logic, and he got thrown out from the court of Allah Ta'ala, and he's just getting more and more doomed by the day, and he's carrying on with his evil, so of misguiding people. So anyway, so insan, you haven't got even, you're not made of that fire that you can even think, you can even use that logic to say I'm better. So you have no right to say that. So for that reason, one of the reasons Allah made that our food, that till your death you can't say I'm somebody great. My roots are filth and dirt. And they are sand one side, the other side it was this dirty blood of my mother, her menstruals. That is what I started growing. That's my foundation. From where? Like some people, they've got ill-gotten wealth, wrong wealth, haram, and they build a huge empire. But if they have to think from where I got it, then they will realize. So no matter who you become, realize who I was at one time. Ayaz, who was a slave in the court of Mahmud Ghaznawi, rahmatullah alayhi, who was a great king and a great buzurg also. And there are great stories of Ayaz. One of them was that the king favored him, made him his favorite. So naturally, in the court, the other courtiers became jealous that why is he get preferential treatment. The king always keeps him close to him, always makes mashura with him, takes his view, etc. So they whispered into the king's ears that you respect him so much, you love him so much, you trust him so much, but he's stealing from the state treasury every night. So the king said, impossible, I know Ayaz properly, it's impossible that he can be stealing. He says, if you want to, you hide away, in our times put up CCTVs, cameras and check, and I hide away and then see, every night, middle of the night, 1, 2 o'clock he comes, he opens up the state treasury, and middle of the night, who are going to open a safe? Who a person wants to steal from there? So they hid away, and he saw Abad, he comes, middle of the night, open the safe. They said, now you can see for yourself. He says, no, let's check properly, what is he doing? So before he became in the court of Mahmud Ghaznavi, he was an ordinary slave. Torn and tattered clothes he had, sack he was wearing, and so he kept that in the safe. And middle of the night he would take that off, take it out, take off the robes the king has given him now. He's in the court wearing this wealth, this valuable clothes. Puts them off and he wears that sack of his again. And wears that torn and tattered clothes. And then looks at himself in the mirror and says, Mahmud, don't forget this is what you were. Don't become proud today. There is the favors of the king. He's put his robes on you and he's given you this respect and honor. But this is what you were. So like that, man must never forget his original. What we were, don't ever forget that. Even in this dunya, everyone today, you can be the biggest alim. At one time, you were a complete jahil. أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah took you out from the wombs of your mothers. You didn't know a thing. So don't think today I'm a very big alim. Remember one time, I was a total jahil. Allah himself says, لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You knew nothing. Today you're such a wealthy person. You came with that wealth in this world. You had nothing whatsoever. You were a pauper. You had not a farthing, not a cent with you. You had nothing with you. So don't be arrogant and proud. If you think today I'm the best boxer in the world, best wrestler in the world, at one time you couldn't even open your hands. You were so weak, you didn't have the strength to even just open your fingers. Your palm you couldn't open also. So always remember that. So Allah Ta'ala made insan like this. So anyway, the point that is relevant to our talk, all these points are relevant. But for our talk for today, is that Allah kept the tongue pure. So you also keep it pure. How sad that we hear with our ears sometimes. Sometimes in a supermarket or where somebody tell the children, swear that person. We're teaching the child the wrong things. And how many times the mother will tell the child, when your father comes, don't tell him I was on the phone the whole day. We're teaching the child to lie. Allah kept the tongue pure and we teach the child. How many of us, we make our children sit in front of the TV, in front of videos, where bad language is used. We're teaching them all the wrong things. All these things. Allah took so much care for us, for our sake, that He kept our tongues pure. When we come in this world, today we are grown up. Our children see that we keep their tongues pure also. That they don't lie, they don't backbite, they don't swear, they don't use vulgar language. Nothing, words of kufr and shirk must not be on their tongue. That is our duty. Allah kept it pure, keep it pure. So, and then again, further see how Allah has made the intizam. The tongue is so small, and Allah kept it between the two jaws. And on the jaws, Allah Ta'ala put 32 teeth. One Buzurg says, gives a beautiful analogy of this. Like whenever they are in the world, every government has got one police, complete separate police section, which is the riot police. They are experts in handling riots. And they are trained also according to that. And their weapons are also, according for riots, they are given their weapons also. Tear gas, rubber bullets, it's a complete different section of its own. So, to guard the tongue, Allah has put the 32 teeth also. So this is like the riot police to control the tongue. And their weapons are also different. Like the four teeth, the two in front, the two on top, they are made sharp. But flat also and sharp also. To bite, like to bite an apple, for that it has been made. Then the next eight teeth, two on both sides, on top, bottom, this side here, the canines. They are like pointers. They are for eating meat. Allah has made them. And the rest of them are molars. They are like crushes. They crush the food. So Allah has made this all different. Like they are given different weapons to control the tongue. And sometimes when you bite your tongue, you know what a pain it is. And when you bite it even bad, then it is even much, much more worse also. So they are there, all this riot police to control the tongue, that you must stay straight. It comes in a hadith sharif. Every morning, every part of the body speaks to the tongue and tells the tongue, You stay straight, we will stay safe. You stay straight, we will stay safe. Because with your tongue, if you swear somebody, you accuse somebody, that person becomes angry, he doesn't pull your tongue. And he gives your tongue one shot. He gives you one kick, or he gives you one slap, hits you in the back. So the other parts of the body have to suffer because of the tongue, what the tongue spoke. So the tongue has to stay safe. So Allah has put this 32 riot police there in order to control this tongue. And also the teeth which Allah has made and the whole mouth system. This actually, I should call Dr. Farooq to give this talk. Who is a dentist, they were better. We should, one friend of mine, a good friend, mashallah, he taught me a great lesson. He said, you must eat your food like water. You must sip your food like water. And you must eat your water, you must sip your food like water, and eat your water. Eat your water. What he meant, that chew your food properly. This is also sometimes when we're in a hurry, especially young people, or people who are rushing today, the whole world is rushing. So much we are rushing in the world today to have a peaceful life. But in the process, we haven't got time to eat also. We are already losing our peace. Just like many people say, without a matric certificate, you won't get rosy. So who is giving you a rosy till you are getting your matric? 18 years, who is giving you your rosy? And till 18 years, you're not working a thing. You're getting everything found. So if you still have trust on Allah, you don't need no matric certificate to get rosy. Allah is the giver of rosy. Not your matric certificate, not any other certificates and degrees. Allah is the giver of rosy. I'll just digress little bit here, though there is a whole subject on its own. But once when we were in Lusaka, and there was a masjid getting built, nice built, very beautiful masjid. But it came in my heart also, there's too much extravagance in this masjid. They are spending too much money, the domes, the minara, etc. Afterwards we met the contractor. He was from Jaipur in India. And he was a person that he can't sign his name also. He makes a thumb impression. And all that. And then I found out the university students of architecture and engineering of Lusaka University go to him to learn. He can't even sign his name, but university students are going to him to learn. So it isn't this knowledge that gives us our rosy. It is from Allah Ta'ala's side. The mulberry leaf and the worm and the mulberry leaf in their business venture. The one puts in his effort, the one puts his money, etc. And they make silk. They didn't go to any university to learn to make silk. But the university students go to them to learn how to see how they are making silk. The bee didn't go to any college university to learn how to make honey. Yes, but the university people go to the beehive and see how the bees are busy making their honey. So this is all Allah's Qudrat. It is not in this material thing. It is solely and only in the hands of Allah. So many countries before we should say of India, but so many other countries in the world now, that a person is overqualified so he can't get a job. He's overqualified. And one person wrote me an email now, I'm either overqualified or underqualified for a job. And I'm out of job for the past 3 years. Whereas those Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Panpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, a person who only learned to give adhan, he can't even write and read the words of adhan, he learned it just by voice. He gives adhan in a masjid and he gets enough money to fill his stomach for the whole month, just by giving his adhan. And other people with so much of degrees, but they're out of job. And you'll see top people are out of job. So anyway, what were we discussing? That we are rushing to have a peaceful life, and in the process, we're forgetting our peace also. One person was lying under a tree, He was sleeping, just had a brick as his pillow, and having a wonderful sleep, cool breeze also, and the rustling of the leaves and the chirping of the birds, a wonderful peaceful sleep. So one university graduate, he was walking past and he saw him sleeping. He shook him up. "What are you doing?" He said, "You look like a very educated person and you are a graduate of a university. You don't know what I'm doing. Can't you see? It's simple, straightforward. I'm sleeping. What?" He says, "No, you mustn't be sleeping. What must you do? You must become constructive, and you must become all those big words. You must work, and you must have ideas, and you must do things. What must I do? Get a chopper. Take a loan. Get a chopper. Then chop wood, and then go and sell it. Then you'll make money. Soon you'll have enough money to pay your debt. You'll buy another chopper. You get somebody to work for you now. Soon you'll have 10 people working for you. Now you'll be a big entrepreneur, a Lani now. You've got 10 people. Then you'll get a truck, and then you'll get 2, 3, 5, 10 trucks. And then you'll build a big warehouse. You'll have a big office, and you'll have wonderful, all the office will be furnished properly. You'll build a beautiful house, everything. And then you'll get married, and then you'll live in peace." So you say, "What am I doing now? Am I not living in peace now? You want to take me in this whole big circle and bring me back where I am. And in that process, people will get jealous of me, family people. People, everyone, wherever I walk, will ask me for a loan, will ask me for money, because he's a big rich man. People won't stop, my phone won't stop ringing. Any person I see coming with a briefcase attaching my office, I think he's the tax man. And my pressure will start going up, my sugar levels, and you'll bring me just back where I am. I'm quite happy without all this." So looking for peace, and we forget our peace in the process. What was that point? We must chew our food. We haven't got time to eat properly also. To sit down and eat also, we haven't got time. But this is, and why are we doing it? So that we can have enough time and rest nicely. One friend of ours, husband had insurance policies, so she was against it. She was Dini conscious. She was against it. She didn't like the idea. But he told her that, "Don't worry. When I die," she had a life policy, "you'll live in peace and you'll enjoy life." She said, "I want to enjoy life with you. Not when you dead, then I want to enjoy life." And what you get, and without exaggeration, when Zimbabwe, it's still in its crisis to some extent, but when it was at the height of its crisis, its economy, then one person who had a, when you become old, pension. He was paying, and he was quite sure, "I will live happily now when I'm old." So he received a letter, and this is not a story, there is a reality which happened. He received a letter from the bank, "You should come in and let us sort out your account, everything." When he went and they sorted out all what he had to pay and everything, his whole pension fund came, he had so much left, literally, that he could buy one banana. That was all. And he was thinking, "My whole old age I will live nicely. I've invested so much." This is all these things. He only had so much which he could buy one banana. That was all. Nothing else. So we mustn't be fooled by these things. And live a nice life which Allah has given you. And the deen of Allah's deen, for example, make qailula in the afternoon. It comes in the hadith sharif. Qilu fa inna shaytan la taqilu. Shayateen la taqilu. Or kama qal alayhi salatu wasalam, make qailula. Shaitan is too busy. He has to make the whole world go astray. He doesn't. But you live peaceful life. You don't have to break your head in that. You live peacefully. And Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has written, Allahu Akbar, to make qailula with the niyat of sunnah is better than 1,000 years of tahajjud with the niyat of nafil. Where can a nafil ever come to a sunnah? Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So to make qailula and see, and our object is not dunya. Yeah, in dunya you'll hit your head against the wall, and finally when you leave, dunya will send you empty handed. The dalat of this dunya, dalat is actually do lat, two kicks. And when you die, it gives you kasrat istimal, so it became dalat. Before people also knew that dawlat is not something to cherish and to die. But as time went, people, the name also changed, and now dawlat everyone loves. Otherwise dawlat and dollar. Dollar is also dawlat. And dawlat is also dawlat. It gives you two. And why two kicks? Because your back is two parts. So on both sides it gives you one kick and throws you into the qabr. And they cover you up so well with sand. First of all, they put those planks. And if there's any gaps left, they take mud and they cover it, or they put leaves in there. So they make sure you can't come out from there. And you get no oxygen there that you can be revived from there again. Then they don't fill sand level to the gravel, grave. They fill it up, hump it. And they extra sure that there is no chance for you to come. And you go, everything what you earn. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, the biggest deception of this world, which Muslims and non-Muslims see open with their eyes, that what you work for, your fingers to the bones, 7/24, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, when you die, it doesn't give you one bit. So what is the use? You work so much, and the time you need it the most is the time of your mort, when you're going in your qabr. And at that time, it deserts you. It doesn't give you one but one king who was dying, who owned the whole world. Not ruled the world. He owned the whole world. Everything of the world. He made wasiyat, when I die, put my two hands out of my janazah, so that everyone can see the man who owned the world is going empty-handed today. With absolutely nothing. So we shouldn't be fooled with these things. So anyway, eating is also very, very important, that a person choose his food. How we, you sip water like that, you must, your food also chew it properly. Don't put extra burden on your intestines. They got a separate function. If your mouth you ate properly and you chewed your food, then your intestines, the smaller, the bigger intestines, they can do their work properly and your whole system stays right. Your liquids also, don't gulp it. They should be sucked. And especially vitamin drinks, whether they're beneficial or not, or it's just all advertising jargon or whatever. But that also, the benefit is, they say, that when you sip it slowly and you take time, you have your afternoon green tea is very good, but that also don't gulp it down, you haven't got time. You take your time and you sip it properly. And if we have to understand what is life, for example, an industrialized country, any country, a big city like Johannesburg, Pretoria, or London, or Paris, or New York, any, take the life of any person there and compare that category of that person, a school-going child, university, business, office worker, compare that to a third world country, somebody in the village, and they are living a peaceful life. They're not rushing. And what are they short of? They haven't got orthodontists, they don't need them. Their teeth are sparkling all the time. They haven't got optometrists, they don't need them also. They haven't got psychologists, they don't need psychologists also. They're living a peaceful life. What is the important thing? To have things or to have quality life? And in the West and in these industrial countries, they talk of having quality time. But that is just an imaginary thing for them. And they have to go special then to the jungle 3 weeks a year for their holiday, go and live in some resort to get some quality time. Those people living their whole life, they got quality time. They don't have to go and stay in the hotels to go and get quality time. They got quality time all the time. So anyway, this is a whole big bluff which Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained, and our Buzurgani Deen, how they have made effort to us to understand. Let us not be fooled by all the, you get an advertisement, for example, an aeroplane flying or a cruiser ship, going cruising on the ship, and fly now and pay later. Hey, now you must just take that offer you and get fly. Now you have to pay. Now you haven't got money to pay. Now you have to cut down on all your essentials also. You get blacklisted and all things now because you can't pay. So don't be fooled with all these things. See what reality is. How beautifully our elders, now there's not even buzurgs, but our elders, they used to say that to stretch your legs, how much your blanket goes. If your blanket is short, pull your legs in. In other words, your monthly money which you are getting, today the whole world is worried to increase our income. Nobody is worried to decrease our expenses. How much you are earning, try and live within that, then you live peacefully. You won't have a problem with your finances. Cut down on your things. Maulana Mufti Sayyid Palanpuri, who is the Shaykh al-Hadith of Deoband at the moment, when he was studying in Randev, they used to get their salary, and then by the 25th of the month, the money is finished now, and still 5 days to go before you get your salary. So tea is a luxury, is an extra thing. He should cut out all his tea to make his money stretch till the end of the month. Our attitude, go and ask for more higher wages. The real thing is that you work your expenses according to your income. But today our expectations are beyond our expenses also. Then we need so much money, and we now, all the time, they are picketing here, and they are striking here, more wages, the whole world is the story. But the proper way, that you make your expenses within your income, and you'll live a peaceful life, and you'll never go in debt also, and a person who lives like that, Allah gives barakat also. Anyway, eating is a separate subject which we will come to. So this talking Allah has made, put 32 riot police on the tongue to control it, and that was not enough. When riots go more out of order, they get the army involved then. So Allah put 2 regiments of the army also, the 2 jaws. Allah put them also to control the tongue. So the tongue, we have to be very careful what we speak, and how we use our tongue is a very, very important thing. In the Hadith Sharif it comes that give me guarantee of 2 things, and I will give you the guarantee of Jannah. The guarantee of the piece of flesh between your 2 jaws and the piece of flesh between your 2 legs. You give me that guarantee, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will give you the guarantee of Jannah. On one occasion, this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, are you people surprised how a person will go to Jahannam? He caught his tongue, he said, on account of this tongue here. And a few little grams and a few centimeters, square centimeters, this thing will take a person to Jahannam. A person is right about to enter Jannah, and with the tongue he says 1 word, and which makes him now go towards Jahannam. So the tongue is a very delicate thing, and in Ramzan, this is also that we have to learn, where we stay away from food and we can manage. And really, for people, how many people, especially perhaps it is Gujarati people, their food, they are the people of the inventors of achar, and papar, and papri, and what they invented, samosas, and what. They can't stay without the food, but in Ramzan you stay without your food. Eh? So if you can, your tongue also, you can learn to control it. And just like we mentioned, and this is another very important point, that if our little girls, we don't let them wear trouser ijar, from when they are small, and now when they 12, 13 have become baligh, now you tell them you have to cover your legs. It's almost impossible. They can't. They haven't learned to do it. There's a roza Allah made it such from His wisdom and His system that almost all children are eager to keep roza. They fight if you don't wake them up for sehri. If you tell them no, eat. They can't manage the roza, but they don't want to keep roza also. And even if you just bluff them little, we won't tell anyone, just have this bowl of porridge. And then, but we got roza, they want to. So when they grow up, they can keep roza. And how non-Muslims who revert to Islam, one of the most difficult things they find is to keep roza. That how to keep roza. And there also we should use wisdom and tact. One person in the time of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali in South India accepted Islam. And the Muslims, in their great zeal and enthusiasm, made him keep summer rozas. He found it too hard. He became murtad again. Maulana said, why did they let him keep roza? He just now, in Ramzan, just before Ramzan, he became a Muslim. Explain to him, and whenever we also convert somebody, Allah give us tawfiq to revert, that explain him, namaz is for us, rozas are for us, but your iman is most important. Even if you don't keep 1 roza, you don't make 1 namaz, that is Allah's right, if He wants to, He'll forgive, otherwise, but you will go to Jannah. But don't make it that you have to make your namazes, you have to keep your rozas. Otherwise you're not a Muslim if you don't keep your rozas. The way we emphasize it, and he gives up his iman also. That should not be the case. Wisdom is very, very important. And who doesn't know Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali and how strict he was. But when he went to Mewat and he found the people making maulud, which was a bidat, but that was the only sign of Islam. He told them, you just keep on making a maulud. Don't ever give up your maulud. Otherwise it's a bid'at, it is haram, it's not allowed to do. But that is their only connection with Islam, and that makes them Muslims. For them, that is what they are. So that and knowledge is all, and understanding. And this does not come without staying in the company of Ahlullah. And just to give you an example, one movement which in India was known as the Shuddi Tehreek. That was to make all Muslims into Hindus. And they worked on from the government level, they worked. And many people in Mewat, they had converted. They made them Hindus. So Muslim ulama, all great buzurgs, became very, very worried. So one person, he was an ordinary person, not an alim also. He said, I'll go and sort out this. This is that wisdom. So he went to Mewat and he told them, you people were all born Muslims? They said, yes. And then you made khatna, sunnah. They said, yes. He said, that is your stamp of Islam. And if you want to go out of Islam, you have to get that piece of skin again, you have to attach it again, then you can go out of Islam. They said, no, this ordinary, very rich people, simple-minded people. They said, yeah, then we are Muslims. We are stamped Muslims, we can't go out of the fold of Islam. So this year is very, very important. So about rozas, what I wanted to mention, which is quite a serious thing, is that many of our women, great percentage, they don't keep their qaza rozas of the month. And some of the, when they were from the 12, 13, rozas became farz on them, whichever. And by the marriage age, it has accumulated so much already. And this procrastination, we'll keep it after Ramzan, we'll keep it next month, we'll keep it now, this excuse, and they have accumulated. Now it's like a mountain in front of them. Now they don't know what to do. So therefore, train our girls also. Make it a rule in the house that as soon as Ramzan is finished, in Shawwal keep all your rozas finished. Make it like a rule. It must be kept in, and especially now in winter. Now after Ramzan, it's still August. It's not difficult to keep that rozas. Don't put it off for December when the long days and hot days again. Keep them. And even if Ramzan comes in December, then also keep it after Ramzan. And a person whose niyat is such, Allah will help that person. Otherwise, good woman, their rozas have accumulated. And now they find it like a mountain and they just haven't got courage. And it is for us to keep that qaza roza. And another thing again, that how many women, continuously these phone calls come home, they go on the tablet in order to prevent their monthlies in Ramzan, and there the whole cycle, they buggered it out. They destroyed the whole cycle, now they are suffering in debt. Don't change Allah's system. Give what Allah's natural system is, and the blood has to go out of the body. It's most unhealthy to keep dirt, whether it is your sweat. Don't use the roll-ons and all that to keep your sweat in. And take a bath more often. Wash more often. But don't keep that sweat in. This is the cause of cancer. All this dirt that stays in the body. One of the major causes of woman breast cancer is the bras they wear, which is also keeps which amount of sweat that it produces. It keeps that delicate part of the body so hot and dead, and the sweat doesn't come out. It's covered up all the time. So many don't interfere with Allah's system. Neither with Allah's laws and masalas, and neither with Allah's natural system. If you want to be saved, don't upset Allah's natural system. He is our maker and He knows why He has made everything, maintaining. So our tongue is very important. And the aspect that we are on at the moment is what we talk. That we must be very careful what we talk. This one word, La ilaha illallah. A person says La ilaha illallah, all his past sins are forgiven. La ilaha illallah makes a person who was destined for Jahannam immediately not only U-turn, but he goes directly into Jannah. As soon, if you are on the wrong road, then you have to slow down. You can't take, if you're traveling 180 kilometers per hour, you realize I'm on the wrong road. Never ever try and take a U-turn, make a U-turn at 180. What will happen? And when you slow down so much that it's safe to turn, still also look whether there isn't an oncoming car. Whether there isn't a car from the back that wants to overtake you, you're going so slow it wants to pass. Make sure of everything, then you take your turn. Then how many kilometers you went on the wrong road, you'll have to again travel on the wrong road the other direction. Then you'll take your right road again. But with La ilaha illallah, 99 years of your life in kufr, shirk, what a wrong road you were. You don't have to make a U-turn. You don't have to see any oncoming traffic. Already you transferred to Jannah. You were hated by Allah because you are a non-believer. Immediately you become the beloved of Allah. Yeah, in this world, love doesn't just come like that. You hated somebody so badly and now you're just madly in love with the person. Oh, time that all the wrong that that person did, what he hurt you, what he caused you inconvenience to overcome, all that, now to learn to love that person, perhaps it will come. But the kalima, immediately you will become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. A mabooz becomes a mahboob. A jahannami becomes a jannati. A kafir becomes a Muslim. So immediately. So by Allah, we have to walk in this path towards Allah and see how Allah will cherish you. And Allahu Akbar. One of the qualities of Allah is shakur. Allah is ghafurun shakur. Shakur, the one who thanks. What must Allah be thankful to us for? We have to be thankful to Allah. But whatever little we do, ni'mal qadirin. There is no one who appreciates like Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, we complain, I do so much for my wife, my children, they don't appreciate. The wife says, I do for my husband so much for my children, nobody appreciates. Yeah, there is nobody who appreciates like Allah. And the small things. So this one word, how valuable and how much Allah appreciates your one word. So in Ramzan, let us learn to control the tongue and use it for the right. To make tilawat of Quran Sharif. In Ramzan, one thing that we also had mentioned, if our niyat is akhirat, Ramzan is what is December to a businessman? Ramzan is more greater to a person whose niyat is akhirat. This is a festival, it's a celebration. It is the greater, it's a hot season. Your goods are selling at what prices in Ramzan? Your nafil is becoming a faras. Faras is becoming the value of 70 faras. What value? So in the same way, where our qaza namazes, let us fulfill them, our qaza rozas also. Those of us who got qaza rozas, one good friend of mine here, he explained that when he was at college or school, and many in their young days, they just for fun, just to show a friend, I can break my roza. You drink a cold drink or you eat something. And now kafara was lazim, 60 rozas, consecutive. But now, if we broke a roza when we were small, young, or at any time, for whatever reason, keep our qazas, it's not difficult. Himmat-e marda, madad-e khuda. You make your himmat, Allah will make your 60 kafara rozas also easy. And also remember, if you keep your kafara rozas, then that one roza also you still have to keep. So it's not it's not together with the 60, but that qaza also you have to keep. 60 is for breaking the rule, and you have to make toba also. If we got qaza umri, toba is not enough. Toba we have to make, that we must, that, so if you don't make, you make your qaza umri, but you didn't make toba, that guna is still on you. For that guna also make toba, to take away that guna, and that namaz also must be fulfilled. Many of us also have this in us, that I'm making namaz, I'm keeping roza, I even give charity, but still problems in my life, domestic problems, financial, health. Why is Allah doing this to me? But you don't consider how much you're owing Allah. You have so much namazes. You are owing somebody 100,000 rand. You're not talking of paying that money. But Eid day, you're going to give sweet meats to the family. Brothers, you have one brother owing the other brother, he's owing him 100,000 rand, he's not paying that. But on Eid's day, he's taking some samosas and ties for the family. They get angry, you're bringing peanuts for us. And our 100,000 that you're not talking about. So now we owing Allah how many faras namazes, and we want to make Allah happy with nafil. In Ramzan we are making our awabin, we're getting up for tahajjud also, we are making ishraq also, everything. But the faris we are owing, and the faris are the big amounts. We are keeping nafil rozas of Shawwal, but our faris rozas that we are owing Allah Ta'ala, we're not talking of that. We have to get our priorities right. This is also very important, and one clear understanding how that we need a sheikh in our life. On our own, we'll make that nafils and we'll think, oh, I'm so pious. Or we give some charity lillah, but our zakat we're not paying. 5 years, 10 years, we haven't paid our zakat, and we are making Allah happy and paying. This year I give 2,000 lillah. But your zakat of 5 years you haven't paid. That is more important. To get our priorities in order is extremely important. So may Allah give us tawfiq inshallah. Very quickly, one person who was like a great buzurg, and he was very pious, sincere and honest also, living in a cave somewhere. So this person said, such a great buzurg, doesn't need to, he stayed with him. Then he found that this person, this buzurg, that he learned and he knew that you must do against your nafs. So he desired to smell attar, and nice sweet smell. So he told his nafs, I'll teach you a lesson. So when he went to toilet, he took some of the stool and he pushed it into his nose. You want to smell attar? I'll teach you a lesson. Smell attar now. And he put that stool. So this person saw that, what is this happening? So then with respect, he told him, Hazrat, this you are doing, he says, yeah, my nafs want to smell, I do against my nafs. And what a great mujahada person who can do against his nafs. But he said, but this is haram, it is filth and dirt. How can your wuzu be made? How can your ghusl be made when you have covered your nostrils? How can your ghusl be made also? How can your namazes be made? Nothing. He was sincere. He realized, his son, what you are telling me is right. So this is when on our own we want to tread the path. We will make worse mistakes than this also. Get a person who can guide you, and easily inshallah you will find your direction. And without any difficulty, may Allah Ta'ala guide us and make our rozas to be perfect rozas. Then see how we'll enjoy rozas, and we'll get the profit and the release and the taste and the wonderful enjoyment of roza. Then we will desire whole year must be Ramzan also. May Allah give us all.